perspective here, I really want to just jump into what you're saying. When you're a Christian, you're a leader. Christians lead. They don't follow. And when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're immediately a leader in every aspect of your life. And what our sister was sharing about right now, we were singing about how we be faithful, about the faith we share, is the fact that sometimes as Christians and as believers, we get the whole leadership thing wrong. We get it upside down because what we're going to do in a situation, we want to walk into a situation and we want to love people. And there's nothing wrong with loving people. But if you want to effectively turn the situation around like a sister did, you must come with the authority. In other words, you come with an authority, you come with that authority of God, you speak into the situation, and through that people will experience your love. Jesus did it. Jesus would call me to people's love, and Jesus would tell them, you have five husbands. Jesus would walk into the rich young man and say, you have a problem with money. Jesus would regularly walk into people's lives and just through from that place of leadership, he would speak with authority. And when we speak with authority as leaders, or when we make the appointment as a leader with authority, people respect us. And through that authority, when they respect us, they immediately experience Christ's love. We have a situation where a guy got saved, he was in a gang about a month ago. He got saved and he was part of a hit group that had to kill somebody. And it was a high profile case in Houston where a husband got hold of a letter where his wife planned his death. So this man was part of the assassination team. He was in service and he got saved. So now one of our small group leaders, you know, you got to say he's in small groups, so now they have to deal with this guy. And so one of our small group leaders said it's difficult to talk to this guy about Christ's love. And I told him, I know you want to talk to him about Christ's love, but he doesn't have a reference for love. Where he comes from, there's generals, you know, the mob. There's leaders, there's a pecking order, there's an understanding of what leadership is. And I tell them, if you want to win this battle for Christ, you need to go in with authority. And you need to explain to him how Christ works, how Christ's authority works. And he needs to see that authority, that they will respect you. And it did happen that the man said he baptized himself, he was there. I'm seeing this man worshiping in church. It's a privilege. But since his friends made that shift, that is not the love initially. It's the authority of God that will change the situation. But behind that authority comes from a place of love, then people's lives change. That is why Christians are leaders. And we're going to talk about leadership lessons learned from the Roman centurion. And there's a reason why I chose this guy in scripture, because he wasn't a Jew. He didn't fit the Jewish leadership profile. He was a Roman foreigner. And something about this man's leadership style made Jesus just marvel. We're going to read the story now in Luke chapter 7, verse 1 to 10. It's just seeing how one great leader relates to another great leader. This man is a marvelous leader, and he's related to Christ. And the reason why scripture calls him the centurion, he was a master of the 100. And he was part of the city Capernaum. When Jesus was saying words to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. Their centurion servant, whom his master valued high, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. So now the Jews say to Jesus, this man deserves you to have you do this, because he loves our nation and he has built a synagogue. So Jesus went with him. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I do not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, souls under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and this one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and turned to the crowd following him, and he said, "I tell you that I have not such great faith in Israel." The men who had been sent turned down to the town to serve God. So it's a story of faith. It's what we've been seeing on two songs. Mr. Sam was about faith, and what our sister said was about faith, and what Chris said was about faith, because it's a faith issue. It's a faith issue. And what I like is when two great leaders meet, you immediately see faith sparks fly. Because both of them operate out of a position of authority. But while they operate out of a position of authority, you can really experience the love between these two marvelous men in Scripture. And so the first thing that we learn from this Roman centurion is he cherished human life. Scripture says that his master, this Roman centurion, valued his servant. He valued him. In other words, when it comes to leadership as a Christian, there's a value that we place on the people that we serve and that we lead. The same as what Jesus did. And Scripture is so clear about this man that cherishes human life. It's 5 C's. The first one is cherishing human life. Sorry, I was at the school for the hearing impaired, so I'm finding myself spelling. Cherish human life. Psalms 49, verse 7 to 8 says, "No one can redeem the life of another or give to God ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough." Human life and human worth. And this leader had an understanding of that. But what David is writing here, it's just what Psalms 116:15. "Precious is the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants." We lost an answer. The mighty human God. God has given me this scripture again. It's a company to me. "Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints." God values me. Especially his saints. Isn't that comforting? Now, there is our things about life. You know, 3 years ago when we moved to a new office, some broke working. I don't know who he stole the laptop. So now they're phoning me 3 o'clock in the morning. The front window of our office is broken. I need to come there. So when I got there now, I saw that there was a burglary, computers got. Now I have to sit there. From 3 o'clock. Until half past 7. Until, when he kept whose class was open to come repeat. Because, we found that no one would come. So I'm sitting there and I'm working there. And I'm really fantasizing about catching this man. In my dreams, there's hammers, plies. I'm just thinking, if we caught him and some of my friends was with me, what would we do? What could we do to him? What could we do with him? And as I was thinking this, God spoke to me, and Christ said, "Ricky, when you said yes to this stuff, if you say yes, no need to where you live with your friends." Because it's quite comfortable where I live with my friends at school, man. We bribe, there's no burglaries, it's great. But what about the other side of town? So that is what Christ was challenging me with. It's that same Jonah. Jonah, I want you to understand that you must love the people as a leader, and you must love the nation as a leader. Carlos, you must love the people, and you must love your guts that you do not regularly see on the other side of town. The value of human life. And so I have to repent. I said, God, I forgot. When I said yes to this town, I also said yes to the part that I don't yet have, you know, spot the campus. The places where there's the least. We tend to forget that. This Roman centurion never forgot it. He valued his servant. He did not have to love the servant because it was a servant. And it was a Jew. That's why Jesus said to get. If the Roman smacked on the one cheek, the other cheek. That's why people didn't like that servant in the mouth. Because it's about Romans slapping them around. Here we find a leader that's just valuing people. Like Christ valuing people. Christ placed a high value on people. The dead to be sacrificed. The second seed is here, the noble character. This Roman centurion and a noble character. Did you see it in the scripture? The Jews went to Jesus and said, look here, this man deserves you to do this. He went up and grabbed him and said, oh, wait a minute, which man? Your. They cut him, you man. It's a big snatch. They said, oh, we love him. He was a Roman. And if you knew him, in those days, how the Jews hated the Romans to take the captive. Their charity was a brilliant. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 1 says, a good name is more desirable than riches. To be esteemed is better than silver power. He had a really good reputation, a really good character. And even his enemies loved him. My dad was a teacher at this school, Roman Catholic primary school, for 40 years. He walked into that school when he was 20, he walked out after 40 years. Never complaining. But you know what I find my dad did me used to? I can remember those days when I didn't believe in God and I was roaming around and I used to walk around a lot. I didn't have a car. I only learned how to drive when I was 31. It's a few years ago. So I had to walk around in Houston. You know, and I can remember walking around 7:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, you know. Still be coming from our places of pleasure, you know. Enjoy myself. And how many gangsters would meet me? Groups of gangsters. I would walk into the neighborhood block and I would put it out and one of them says, hey, this is Mr. Moses' son, man. Leave him alone. Mr. Moses, a good name, and was the brewer, man. Hey, Mr. Paul, see if you can feel your mom. My dad's reputation. My dad had a good reputation in that town. Because his school where he taught, they usually took in the poorer kids of the community. You know, the guys who were destined to become gangsters. But I'll tell you, they loved him. Just the way you operate for them. Now, it's really powerful when someone in a gang can vouch for you. You don't even know him. I vouch for this boy because I know his father. You leave him alone. That's exactly what happened here. This man was a brilliant man. The Jews loved the man. Jesus must do this for this man. Oh, beautiful. The third seed, he had a contract spirit. He told Jesus, Jesus, I'm not worthy. Isaiah chapter 57, 15 says, for this is what the high and exalted one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy. Just watch what God says here. Just read this. Just read with your mind. I live in a high and holy place. But at the same time, I also was the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit. To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. I said it this morning, I'm going to say it again. God is bringing his students to a whole new level of humility and brokenness. is bringing us into uncomfortable situations where we can't control our emotions anymore. It's like the heaviness within our hearts. And we know that this is beyond we. But I can tell you this, if we allow God to be God in that situation, it's going to change our lives forever. Because what I see about this, when he's telling Jesus, you don't learn to come to me. It's strange that he would send people. Often the Jews would send another group of guys, but Jesus came and said, tell Jesus. He just knew when he stood in front of greatness. He just knew that greatness was on its way. The marvelous power of God. He could see the Father's hand on his Son. And this has brought him to a place of humility. And it's difficult to preach on humility. It's difficult to preach on having a contract spirit. Because for me personally, it's a foreign concept. I can read about it in Scripture, I can study it in Scripture, I can put quite a lot of Scriptures about humility. But really coming to a place of where this can walk, and just saying, just tell Jesus, I mean, it's not even the way I'm coming to my house. That's something that God must help us with. But we can, the same with David in Psalm 51, where he says, God, at this stage of my life, I'm in such a way. God, the only person that can help me is you. I'm torn between two worlds. My emotions are running wild with me. My mind is playing games with me. And I can't take this thing. God, I need help. And then it's interesting that he, a Roman, would tell the Jews and his servants, you see that man coming there? I'm not a leader. I can tell you, he's that man coming there. I'm not aware that he must come into my life. It's a beautiful picture of how a man is unsuited to the brokenness of himself. And greatness was on the way. But now the story takes a turn. He had a readiness to comply. The fourth was D, A, B, C. He had a readiness to comply. Fourth C. He had a readiness to comply with authority. He tells Jesus, I'm a man under authority. The story takes a turn up. Before that, we just learned about the man's character. Now we learn how this man operates in the school. Look what 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. He says, Jesus, I'm a man without authority. Paul says, look here, I understand headship. Look what Judges 11, verse 11 says. Beautiful. So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and commander over them. And he repeated all his words before the Lord in his head. So now, this is Jesus, I'm the man under authority. And what's powerful to me is the fact that he would tell by the mouth of his servants, he would say to them, tell Jesus that I understand how he operates. Tell Jesus. The same as he can command, I can command. And tell Jesus, I connect him. We're homies. I know how he operates. I understand the way he does authority. I know this. The issue of headship is the issue of leadership. In our marriage is headship. Do you understand? I love how marriage is women, where the woman says, I'll go away. The man doesn't say it. If you don't listen, the lady doesn't marry yet. In a marriage, you know, he says, I'll go away. Because there's the issue of headship. There's the issue of I follow my husband as he follows Christ. I'm saying again, I follow my husband as he follows Christ.
follows Christ.
So,
is it beautiful? The picture of Christ, the church following Jesus, as Jesus listens to the Father's command, the same in marriage. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm going to explain it to us, but it's going to make sense for you. Don't worry. We're not going to fight about it. We must talk about it. Then, he understood the chain of command. He tells Jesus, I tell this one, go and go. And that one, come and he comes. So, the first thing is, I understand headship, but with it comes the chain of command. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Have I not commanded you, Joshua? Be strong and courageous. Now watch this. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now Joshua, order the officers of the people. Go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. So God speaks to Joshua, Joshua must speak to the officers must speak to the people in the camp. It's a chain of command. It's another tough one. But we learn this from this Roman teacher, that there's a system of order and responsibility based on God. There's order, and each and everyone in this order has a responsibility based on loyalty to God. This order and this loyalty is exercised in authority in people's lives. Now, still this may freak people up. I know this. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 3, for all the people who committed the army will love this. The Apostle Paul says, join with me in suffering. Lord Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather Christ appears his commanding on us. The scripture speaks for itself. There's a commanding officer. He speaks. He pleads. And Paul deliberately uses the picture of a soldier. Instead, a powerful army that understands as the chain of command comes. It's a problem when Joshua would speak to the people and tell them for 7 days no one is speaking. Have you ever considered making war from not having to speak? Not the brave heart or the valiant fight the wars.
Man, today we fight for freedom. And Joshua would go, man, today we keep our mouths shut. We don't say anything when we walk around Jericho. Everybody in this thing, you keep your mouth shut. Oh, don't bother to look at all the boulders that they can throw on you. And the oil that they are cooking that they can throw over you, don't look at it. Keep your mouth shut. And the guys with the bows and the arrows that are standing on the wall that is ready to shoot you, don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut. Walk. Chain of command. And we know history, everybody kept their mouth shut. 7 days. It's really difficult for me. Say nothing. It's just walk. It's out. 7 days. Around Jericho. Chain of command. Understanding what the chief shepherd wants. But now, a lot of people don't get this. Jesus commended the man's faith. Understanding submission and authority. Listen very carefully to what I'm saying now. Understanding submission and authority, understanding headship, and understanding chain of command makes Jesus happy. Because Jesus says, you know what? This man is your faith. I don't know why the commentators don't commentate on this. But nobody draws a correlation between the man's understanding of authority, his understanding of headship, and his understanding of chain and command is directly related to the man's faith. You see it? Jesus says it's a faith issue. I haven't seen faith in the whole of Israel like this man understands me. I can work with him because he's a great man. In other words, understanding that this man made Jesus marvel. Wow. Not as God, but Jesus' human emotions marvel. As God, Jesus was moved in an emotion because Jesus was human. He had emotions. So Jesus marveled. Jesus said, I can work with this man. It's a faith issue. A lot of Christians in church, they can't grow spiritually. They're successful in working them, but they can't grow because they don't understand those principles. They fall into depression, then they get happy, then they're in depression again, then they're not happy. Things just don't work for them because they don't understand chain of command. They don't understand authority and submission. They don't understand headship. And because they don't understand it, Jesus can't, like in this case, say, I like this man's faith. It's a faith issue. It's a faith issue. Great faith understands authority and chain of command. If we do not understand chain of command and authority, we are immune to impartation. The inability to receive. This is just an example. If you ask to give in a command, this is what I want us to do here. Nobody needs to phone Fred. Pastor Fred, is it so? Nobody needs to drive through to Stanford and to check the Fred. Is it so? I want to hear from you, Fred. No, Yaka told me and Christopher told me and also you were, but I just want to hear you. Must first tell me, is it so? It's a faith issue. You understand? Eve, the reason why you went to the app is it's a faith issue on you. I know I never spoke to you, but I spoke to your husband. He was supposed to sit you down and talk this through with you. Not as Lord, don't lord it over people. It's a faith issue. I'm seeing it all through scripture now. Korah and his gang. Korah and his gang coming to Moses and saying, now who do you think you are? You know what Moses does? Moses says, okay. Can I get a scarfist tomorrow? Then can I make a scarfist? So can I make a car here? I can't go to this offer under the court keys. So can I have it? Well, make a scarf. Next morning they get together. God says there's a faith issue. What does God say? What comes from God says, I want everybody to get away from Korah and his gang and his family. The earth opens up, looks like it's Korah and his gang. And then everybody knows, the man of faith is Moses. I mean, you can even ask his brother, when Miriam came in rebellion and challenged him, so he came white as leprosy. Why does God want this thing to be sorted out? This thing in the church's life, in our marriages. Can I tell you why? Because Jesus wants to look to the world and he wants to say that to you. That's great faith. That's a church with great faith. That's a marriage where great faith is. And sometimes we compromise. Sometimes we compromise on our obedience to Christ. We want to give everybody the chance to talk and to speak. We want to give everybody a chance to feel happy. Okay? You feel happy about what we decide. And it's not about happiness. It's a faith issue. It's about obedience. It's faith with hands. It's faith that have an understanding. And my heart breaks to so many people that can't get rid of the stuff that they're carrying with them. Not just the church, it's more than just people. I'm telling you why. They don't understand it. It was the Jews' problem. In Matthew chapter 8, it's the same story. Matthew just adds this. Watch what Matthew says. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subject of the kingdom of heaven will be thrown outside," that's not Jesus, "into the darkness, where there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done as you believe in me." And his servant was healed at that moment. Jesus connected this man's faith. Jesus connected this man's understanding of headship. Jesus connected this man's understanding of chain of command. Jesus connected this man's authority to eternity. Jesus said, "This man will eat with me," because he understands this. There's a lot of people that would like to eat with me, but they're not going to get it. They need to understand this. They need to understand it's a faith issue. This man's understanding of authority, submission, and God's leadership has eternal consequences. It has eternal consequences. The way that we relate to one another, the way that we relate to one another in marriage, it has eternal consequences. Relationships in God's kingdom, as we see this story, it can't be unhealthy. I'm a children's father, but I can't be their China. There's a place that they need to understand that I have friendship with Finn, but Finn can't be my China. You must have flipped the China. So what happens? Relationships, we overstep boundaries. Afrikaans het ook ons raak familiaar. Ek sê altyd in die hemel raak, so kan slecht op nie. Sy maak kos, ek sê nie die dame nie, sy moet kos maak. Die is op. We don't understand the sacredness of boundaries, godly boundaries, godly authority. When authority comes, when it becomes functional, understanding when a mother speaks as a mother, but understanding as a husband speaks as a husband to his wife and as a leader. And if you're in my position, when I speak to my wife as a pastor, there's a place where I'm not a husband, sometimes I'm a pastor and a manager.
Like it.
We don't have a reference for that. Once I've had a place in the mouth, I have to be me. That's it. You know, the guys in those days, they had a reference. If Miriam was wiped as a leper, if Orah was eaten up, then everybody was stupid. Today we don't understand it. There's a lot of unhealthy relationships when it comes to the leadership. Unhealthy relationships. We can't speak into each other's lives anymore. We can't sit each other down and talk about what is right in your life, what is wrong, what husbands can't do with their wives, wives can't do with their husbands. You know what? It's just unhealthy. And God has helped us in restoring what he saw with this Roman centurion. Because God liked what he saw. Once you know what he done, he might accidentally stir, he says, "Oh, my love. I marvel.
wow, it likes that thing. We say, no, I don't like it. You can't tell me that. Don't you see the right? That if you've got an eternal accountability, you've got a beautiful structure. And structure is then governing the relationship. So as a leader, when we take these, when we come to the authority, we help to govern what Christ has sent to eternity. We govern relationship from a position of love. That is how we govern relationship. That is how this centurion governed the relationship in his family. I stand amazed at what God is doing in me and my life. I'm finished with him. And how are we talking through things at this stage? Where she is so open, tell me, look, yeah, I know. This is where I disrespected you. I see this in my life now. Oh, I'm sorry. And when I said, look, my love, I see we have abdicated my leadership. I'm sorry. I can stand up and bring this down with you. I'm going to yell over the letter that I give you to save my house. Because I wanted to keep you happy in the last day. I said, no, it's fine. It gets to be your way. Instead of saying, look, my love, do we want a happy marriage or do we want a godly marriage? If we want a godly marriage, then we do what God says. Doesn't feel like that, but then, that's not the point. The point is we need to be obedient. Let's go give him my life, we know how much my concern. Beautiful. You understand this? I'm talking about, first of all, God's sovereign in our house. We're talking about leadership. God's sovereign in our house. Like when I spoke about the other one's license, he said, yeah, he's coming. Near Kara, Papa is a kissy to me. But it's not so. Nobody watched TV for 2 weeks. Period. No CBBs. No Teletubbies. I know you don't like it. I don't like it also. Because it's rugby time. So for what? 15, 16. What's another 16? I can't even watch it. In the mouth of God, scripture. In the chain of command, scripture and authority in our home. This is what scripture says. We are obedient to scripture. And then watch out. We're not going to walk over your conscience. Because there's the authority of your conscience. In other words, if you believe that you shouldn't eat meat for this week because Christ said so, you will respect that. It's not a sin. If you don't want to eat pork with us anymore, you respect that. The authority of the conscience. Then it becomes functional authority. Dr. Bella, you are the best organizer. I'll watch you operate in your gift. Now show me my love. Are you awesome? Then I become the head of the home. That's how we want to be before God also. Then I become. And then there's the authority of custom. I can't come into this church and just disrespect people. There's a certain way that stuff I've done here that I need to respect. Because there's a blessing and an anointing on. So I come and I submit. You know those guys when you bribe, they always give you advice now, you should bribe, you don't know. No, don't make the fun of this. No, don't. It's rude. I say, it's permitted to be under my sight. It's not a crime, it's fun. They say, if you cry out. I'm going to be for the old, I'm going to tell for the day, you know, the old for the old. The tongue. This river. You know, don't. There's a custom there that we need to respect. The man does it a certain way.
Amen.
The reason why I'm sharing that
Wikipedia
is a lot of people, they can't perceive the they don't understand what the Roman centurion understood. So, Jesus said, now I'm seeing a man that understands the way that I operate. I'll move from Exodus. I don't even have to meet him because we connected. Go home. That man will be healed. A lot of people focus on this miracle, but they don't focus on the way this man operates. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm saying to God, I'm learning from this man. This man is teaching me a few lessons. Hence, the name of my sermon, Leadership Lessons from the Roman Centurion. There's quite a few things that you told me and you told me. When I was sitting there in the afternoon, I didn't talk a lot. I just received what he said. You know why? He's the man in the parable. I opened my heart, I know how to receive from him. Small things that I've learned. This morning, Yaku spoke with me, and Yaku told me, look at this thing around here, it's all extremely happy with it. We're desperate, you stand still and you learn to receive. It's a small thing, but it will help you immensely. I'm receiving from you to do what you do best. It's small things, it's small things. But I'm telling you, when it comes to chain of command, it's the small things that count. Okay. Not doing the thing that I want to do. If Theo says, the water must put here, don't put there. Because you feel it suits you best. Are you with me? We're talking about the way Jesus modeled. It's a difficult one, but we need to get it right. Tell you, if you get this one, God will send you the next. This is the thing that we're dealing with right now. As a movement, we're dealing with this one. On every level.
Yes.
We need to get it right so that God can send you all the other agendas. Before we can take up any other agenda, this is the first agenda. This is the first thing that we need to get. I was talking to a guy, and I'm going to end up with this story. He never had a relationship with his father. But now his father is in our church. Prominent man in our church. And this, so he was one of the few children of this man. So he came to church, and he was quite nervous because he knew his father wasn't there. But his father never had a relationship. He wasn't allowed to come near the home of that man from his father. So he comes and he's nervous. So now his stepmom, this is what he told me, that evening, that morning he got saved. When he got in, his stepmom ran to him, his stepmom introduced him. This is my son. This is my son, this is his name. He introduced him to all the working gentlemen and working ladies in the church. And every time he was introduced to me, this is my son. He said, by the time I met him, for salvation, it was simple. Because he was welcome. By a lady, he didn't have a relationship. Beautiful thing. But at this stage, it's difficult for him to receive. He's a gift man. He brings the most people into church for salvation. I don't know how he does it. Every weekend, he's there with another friend. He just prays and these people just respond. And so we wanted to walk a road because we see the leadership, you know, anointing in his life, but this is a small problem. It's difficult for a brother to receive the command. So I had to sit down and talk with him. Look at my brother. I know it's because you got hurt there. You see, it's difficult for us to get this thing. I'm telling you why. Institutions are blessed. School is blessed. Families and institutions are blessed. It's created by God. The police as an institution is blessed. But somewhere along the line, we get filthy and they become into church, and then we teach people an authority function and they don't understand it because my dad ran after me. Did you expect me to listen to you? You don't know what my dad did to me. Now I can see that in his eyes. And so I told him that. I told him, look, I know you've got an opinion, but there's a lot of places where you've got that. Like institutional authority. But this is the God ones, and we must talk about it. And how are you going to be able to receive from us and receive from your leaders? We have something to impart into your life that will change your life forever. If you're open to it. But you must be open to it because it's a faith issue. And when I told him it's a faith issue, because he's a faith man. Jesus wants miracles to be done in humans. So I told him it's a faith issue. You're not going to grow your faith. Read this account. And open up. He opened up. He said, I wanted to explain to you. And that's all I want to say. If we get that faith issue right, every movement will come in and we will be a unified body. We will know how to. We will know who needs to do what. Before that, there's this one. Step by step. Just do it. Get your place coming. They're like, see what we're about to do. This is nice. It's so beautiful. All that I want to do this evening, we're just going to deal this evening with one small part of this. Just an acknowledgement of the hurts from the issue. I'm not talking about church. Outside of church. It's an acknowledgement. And all that I want God to do this evening is just to touch on that place with you. Not that they're squirrels, not that they're on the masons. It was your mom, it was your dad. Therapy has an effect. And you know how it has an effect on you. When you're under pressure to receive from a leader, that same emotion jumps up inside of you. And you know you do what you told what you're not happy. Who's doing it for what you told them. And scripture speaks of a willingness and obedience. Willing and obedient. I used to wash the dishes for my mom. I had to learn and teach myself to wash it with a smile. Because there's no blessing if I do it. And in my mouth, in my heart, I crumble. Raven, where you from? There's no blessing. When you're married, have you ever been in a deadlock argument? You know what's a deadlock argument. There's no solution. Then you have some sound. Then we leave it. And the legislature pops up again. And we haven't come to a place where we say to each other, look here. Malaf. There's a deadlock in our but you know what? We have to make a choice. And if you're wrong, my husband, I won't tell you. I told you something. Because when we're with Christ, we don't do I told you so. We don't do I told you so to the leaders. Leaders don't want us to sin. It's another thing if a leader says sin. Then we say, no, we don't sin. And so don't make big decisions on your own. Connect with the small. Connect with your district leaders. Connect with your pastor. Ask for advice. Open yourself up to receive. It's going to help you immensely. It's going to help you immensely when people come to say, you can pray for this in the world and receive what you want to say. Does it come inside the back? You say, are you open to receive this? Is that what I want? Yes, I'm open. It's funny how people that's always open to receive from their friends find an answer from God. And everybody that is rebellious and stubborn always bumps their heads. And they always blame the church. They always blame leadership. There's always somebody behind. And we must look beyond the blame game. We must look at one another. One another. Submit, respect one another. Love one another. Speak gifts and songs to one another. I don't know where people get this thing on their own. It's a one another thing. So let's stand. We can pray. I'm excited about the part of it. Oh, it's beautiful. Christ, from where you're standing, we are asking you to reveal to us so that we can start a conversation about the big faith issue. God, it's a faith issue. It's a faith issue. God, we also want to operate in a faith that marvels. That marvels. We want to operate in a faith that will move you. Where we as leaders will move you as our chief leader. Like you moved this man in this message. God, we're challenging our faith on a new level. God, we haven't quite understood it this way up until these recent last days, where it's a challenge, God, as an attack on your biblical understanding of chain of command and authority and submission. We have a skewed view of it. God makes us angry because we've been hurt so many times by leaders. And God, we got hurt before we even got into church, we got hurt outside the church. At school, with our teachers, with our parents, with our mothers, with my boss, my rugby coach. There's just so many people that don't understand, they spoke negatively about us. But Christ, now we come to Jesus Christ, you expect us to understand it. Christ, we cannot understand it. God, this evening I'm interceding with everybody. I intercede on their behalf if they don't have an understanding of it. I pray that you will bring a revelation of this Christ.
Amen.
Because it's a revelation of glory. God, wouldn't it be glorious when you can say about our churches, it's a church of great faith. I haven't seen faith in this man anywhere. So God, we open up to receive that authority. We open up to receive from you. We open up to receive from our leaders. We open up to receive from our husbands. We open up. God, some of us as we're standing here this evening, we're angry at this. We can't control the anger. But God, we know somewhere along the line our boundaries have been set. God, we just want to restore the boundaries. We want to restore. We want to restore because we want you to marvel at our faith. We want you to marvel at our faith. It's our heart's desire that you will marvel at each and every one of our faith. Like the centurion. What can we sing this? What can we sing? We are sitting there this night like you. And all that I want you to do, representing of the hurt in terms of authority, it's a step that we're taking towards. I want to come into that place as a leader. Every Christian is a leader. Where I will understand the chain of command. We can't deal with every issue at every level. But as a leader, if you want Jesus to marvel at your faith, I want you to come and just symbolically, as we sing the song, there's none that can come in, and just place that hurt, that thing that is blocking you to receive it one or another time. Just put something in. Again, the front just comes, just bottom, just bringing this up. I'm leaving it here. Just God, I need to get this thing right. It's going to help you immensely. I'm telling you. And husbands, wife, please don't go home and fight about this. You need that time. Do it. Find a way. Sit and we'll talk to my man. Then when he gets taught about all the places where you wanted to be happy and not obedient, if you identified, get another group of brothers and sisters and just sit down and then talk for them. We need to put money on the law, see. It's funny how me and my wife, we see all the white colored rooms in our house. We often say, we haven't talked about this one. When I saw her in the problem, and then my wife says, yes, it's beautiful. As soon as you open up, it's so beautiful to receive from one another. It's so beautiful. He said, that woman's throat, that was like, just, but I think we spoke to her. Oh.
Amen.
It's like, just remember, it's a godly marriage. You don't want to be happy, you want to be godly in your marriage. God is more interested in your growth than your happiness. Remember, it's not about being happy every day. It's about being obedient to God, understanding what He expects from us. And then from that place, you talk about this. Because the deal with your hurts, it's going to kill us out. When you're in a time of war, as a good soldier, the Apostle Paul says, you cannot be entangled with the issues of life. You can't stay around barley well. And when you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you by default don't go.
Amen.
So much. The book of the God of the man was held up in the box of faith. Chin up. Chin up. We do that thing. So, as we're going to sing the song, just symbolically, I want you to come drop it here. So, just bring it here, and then we're going to trust God that He will just open this new way that He wants us to relate to one another in terms of the soldier and the army and the chain of command. Then He will reveal it to us. Are you with me? Amen. Thanks for your support.